The following podcast is produced and syndicated by Influencer Podcast Network. Become a podcast star. Go to InfluencerPodcastNetwork.com.
Because dating isn't always great. I'm Amy Helt, and this is the Dating Disasters Podcast. Because dating isn't always great. I'm Amy Helt, and I am welcoming you back to the Dating Disasters Podcast. I am thrilled beyond words to have a very special guest today. And this guest and I go way back. I will not call him an old friend because I think at our station in life, we don't want to bring age into it. A longtime friend, you know, from when we were much younger. And I feel like that's when those are your real friends. Those are people who really know who you are. And we have reconnected on Facebook over the last couple of years. And I'm just excited to have his perspective and his, maybe to have a good laugh, but really just to have his perspective on this episode today. This is my friend, James. James, welcome to the Dating Disasters Podcast.
Thank you, Amy. I'm so glad we've reconnected.
I know. And I'm really excited for you to be on here. Not because, first, I know you're going to have some really hilarious stuff, but like we were just talking about, your perspective is, I think, going to be so valuable to people because I don't think that gay dating is talked about in the mainstream a lot. Like, you know, people do it. It's not like a hidden thing anymore. So it's mainstream in that way. But I think challenges and funny things and ridiculous couplings, you don't really get the airtime. Right? I mean, and I think your experiences, some are similar, some are different. So that's kind of really why I'm grateful for you to be a guest today, because I'd love to just kind of talk to you more about what your online dating experience has been like, weird stuff that's happened to you, and anything that you've learned along the way that really could help other people avoid the same pitfalls. So, you know, why don't we start with, I mean, and I'm curious myself about your overall experience with online dating and even dating in general. What's that been like?
So I'm going to be honest with you. I gave up on the online dating.
We'll talk later about that. Go ahead.
Yeah. I just have not had any luck with the online dating. I'll give you an example of, I met this guy online. He seemed really nice and stuff. We exchanged phone numbers and we're sitting there calling each other, texting back and forth. And then when we were getting ready to meet, he called me and said that he had to leave for China because his father was in China and his dad was sick. And he moved back over here, back to the U.S. because they sold their company in China and they wanted to come back to the U.S. So he gets over to China, supposedly, and all of a sudden he says his dad's in the hospital. He's in a coma. He texts me a picture of a guy laying in bed that looked dead. And I'm like, oh, you know, I'm really sorry. I'm here if you need to talk or whatever. And he said, well, I'm looking to bury my dad over here in China because he loved it over here and stuff, but I don't have the money.
Uh-oh. Carry on.
So I was like, oh, I'm sorry to hear that. Is it expensive to bury someone over in China? And he was like, well, I have some money, but I need $5,000. And I was like, oh, I go, did your dad have life insurance? And he was like, yeah, but he didn't have a lot. And I was like, oh, I go, I really don't know what to tell you what to do. So then all of a sudden he calls me and he was like, do you think you could wire me $5,000?
No. And you had never met him. You were just talking.
Never met him. We were talking and stuff on the phone, texting, and we were going to meet. But it never happened because he said he had to leave for China. I was like, you know, I wish I could wire you $5,000, but no, because we never met. And it was like, oh, well, we were going to meet and I couldn't meet because I had to come over to China because my dad was dying. And I was like, look, dude, I said, your dad's in my prayers. Hope you're well. Go look for someone else to give you $5,000. Click, hung up, blocked his number.
Was that recent? That was just recent?
I would have to say maybe 6 months ago. And I mean, I shouldn't say I had all bad results, I guess, for online dating. My last partner, I mean, we went out for 2 months. He was a flight attendant, and nothing against flight attendants, but I will never date one again.
Why is that? I have my own views about like pilots, and I've dated a few myself. We might have this in common. What is it that you, because I want to get back to the money thing too, but since you just brought this up, let's talk about this quickly. What was it?
I'm going to be honest, and I'm not being mean because maybe they're all not like that, but I think he was an air mattress that was always on his back.
Ah, got it. Okay. Well, you know, I'll share with you a pilot that I dated when I first met him said, oh, don't worry, I'm not like what they say pilots are. And I'm like, what does that mean? Because I had never met one or dated one before. And I didn't know the stereotype. But it turns out I had also a client of mine who also had been going out with a pilot, and he told her the same thing. And I was like, wait a minute, you guys have a... So I'm like, how? First of all, you're like shading yourself because I didn't know. And I wouldn't even think about that because I wouldn't do that. You know, like if I were a flight attendant or a pilot dating somebody, I would be dating that person. I wouldn't be like every city, somebody different. That's not who I am. It would never occur to me that that would be the case. And so now you're like the third person talking about that profession that has a perspective like that. So let me ask you this. Do you think it, in a case like that, and again, I want to get back to this money thing because I think that just... It's such a problem across the board. But do you think that your experience with the flight attendant was more who that person is? Or do you think that maybe being in that environment kind of lends itself to somebody behaving that way?
Honestly, I think it lends them to behaving that way. I mean, especially because you're going to all these different cities or countries. And I just think that's the reputation that the majority of the flight attendants or pilots have. And I went to travel school back in the day. There was a lot of people that their parents were like flight attendants or pilots, and a lot of them were divorced. And I would ask why. And, my mom found out that my father was sleeping with this flight attendant, or, you know, some would say my mom was sleeping with this pilot, and it seems like that's the reputation for the airline.
Yeah.
And industry.
And the pilot actually that I dated when we were talking about stuff, he had been dating a flight attendant and kept it quiet because they worked together. Sometimes they would be on the same flights and stuff, which, you know, it's your work environment. So you want to have a little bit of quiet when it comes to that. And they had something happened. I can't remember if they had a layover or got delayed. Something happened. And he was the co-pilot. So the pilot of the plane made some comment about the layover or the delay and the team that they had. So the flight attendants and the co-pilot, who was now the guy I'm dating, was like, well, what do you mean? And this pilot made a comment about the flight attendant who was the co-pilot's girlfriend and how she hooks up with everybody. Like, and I don't remember what the comment was, but the comment was like essentially like outing her that she had been sleeping with pretty much everybody else. But yet the guy she was dating didn't know. So that's how she got kind of outed. And I was like, wait. And it reminded me, honestly, a little bit of when I was a pharmaceutical rep, that I used to go to meetings and yearly things. And even when we had trainings, and I was like, what is going on here? You know, and I was dating a rep at the time too. And I decided after, I'm like, I would never date a rep again. I knew what I was doing when I was there. But I think you're right that that environment and a lot of people in that environment are doing it. So it doesn't necessarily seem weird or unacceptable. Whatever. It's just fun. Who cares? Like, you know, no big deal kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And then like he had this one friend, and it seemed like he was doing more with this one friend than me. And then I found out he would say, hey, I'm leaving to go, you know, to Chicago or whatever. but he would end up being in Maryland. From friends of mine, I would see him. I wouldn't see him, but my friends would see him, like, down in DuPont and stuff.
Right. Oh, my God. And he really thought that he, I mean, you know, even when you live in a metropolitan area, it's not that big of an area. Like, people are around and people see people doing other things. And I always laugh when people think they have this, like, anonymity anywhere. There's the world is not that big. It's very small.
Very small.
So then is that the point that you ended the relationship with him? Is that when you were like, cut, this is not working?
So what I really loved was, like, after a year, we ended up buying a timeshare in Mexico together. And so I guess I was kind of stupid. I kept giving him chances. I enjoyed flying from Mexico on his benefits, so.
Of course. So you had some perks, extras. Okay.
So I would say for maybe 3 months after I found out, I would go to Mexico with him, whatever, use the flight benefits. And then I'm like, eh, this is not for me. And we broke up. And then I found out that this guy that he was with was also a flight attendant and they were dating. So I don't know if he used me for the timeshare, for the portion of the money that I put into the timeshare and stuff. But I ended up calling the timeshare company to remove my name. I signed a paper and stuff, and I said I don't want to have anything to do with it because he was always late on paying the bills and stuff. And I didn't want that on my credit. So he agreed to have my name taken off. I feel like the money that I spent on the timeshare, I got worth what I spent. So,
okay.
I was like, no heartache there.
Okay. So that worked out then. You had additional benefits. So you didn't feel like you, I mean, you got screwed from the relationship perspective, but from the financial perspective, you were pretty covered. That's good that you could get your name taken off that too. So that kind of brings into play what you were talking about with the previous discussion that led us here about the person that you had not met online essentially asking you for money, and a lot of money, not just like, hey, do you have $25? I need some gas. So, and I'm so glad you brought that up because first, I think that there kind of is a stigma around when that happens. It happens often in dating and just in online dating. I know a lot of people that it's happened to. I actually mentioned it in an earlier podcast, a client who actually did send money. And found out that it was a complete scam, that the person she thought she was actually talking to did not even exist. It happens a lot. And I do feel like that's a reason some people stay away from dating online, because it's that kind of unknown, you know, and correct me if I'm wrong, James, but I think I forget from you when we have ever shared posts about dating and stuff on Facebook, you're really looking for a relationship, a partner, somebody to have a life with, as opposed to just kind of dating, hanging out, seeing what you can take from somebody.
Oh, totally. I mean, I'm at the age of, you know, if it's a longtime partner that we have commitment rings or whatever, I mean, deep down inside, I would love to get married. That's the type of person I am. I don't want to be date someone for a few months and that type of thing. I'm just looking for the true love out there.
I think also because I did a lot of online dating before I met Sean, and it can be, you know, when you're really specific about what you're looking for, which I think is something you really have going for you, that you're certain you know what you want, that does make it a lot easier. It can, though, be really difficult to kind of tone out all the noise. A flight attendant, for instance, that may not even be a kind of lifestyle that's compatible with what you're looking for.
Oh, yeah.
But you still, I mean, the person is still interesting. So then it kind of becomes, well, I'll give it a shot because you get some other perks. But it also opens up to other negative things that can happen that aren't okay with you. There are probably plenty of people that arrangement would be totally fine. No problem. Like, get to go to Mexico, fly for free, whatever. Nobody would care. But when you're really looking for that kind of relationship, it's easy to get distracted from the shiny things that are like, oh, hey, that might work. When maybe even like if you stopped and actually looked at it, you'd be like, wait a minute, no. And now you're wiser for it because you had the experience. I mean, it sucks that you had the experience, but that's how we learn stuff and how we get to understand what direction we're going in and who we are as people.
Oh, yeah. And not to never date another flight attendant again.
Now we're going to get like emails from the flight attendants that are like, what the fuck are you guys doing? The airline industry is going to like send us a thing. No. But I will say this in defense of some of them, my cousin is married to one and has been married for a long time. They have a family. So I know you and I both know it is not everyone who works in the industry.
Oh, no.
You and I both know, though, that it does happen a lot.
Yeah. Yes. Totally.
Maybe more often than it would in other industries. What is your plan then? So you've kind of abandoned online dating, which I told you before we hopped on, I wanted to touch base with you tomorrow just to kind of catch up aside from this, but and maybe talk about ways that it could be a little bit better. But what's your strategy now? You want to find a partner. So where does that leave you in this moment?
Like my mom always says, don't push it. When it's going to happen, it'll happen. You know, I go to the bars or whatever. I don't go to the clubs anymore. Like, I'll go to the bars where you just sit and have a drink or kind of hoping, oh, maybe like a family member or a friend will introduce me to someone, meet someone that way. Because I'm even finding also like in the bars and stuff, sketchy kind of people.
There are a lot of them in the world. You notice them when you're looking for a partner because you're kind of opening yourself up, right? If you're not looking for a partner, they just kind of like, whatever, you don't even notice. Yeah. But yeah, for sure. And I don't want to give away too much about where you live just because of your job. But, you know, you live in a metropolitan area where the selection should be pretty good. And still, you deal with sketchiness and dishonesty.
Oh my gosh, totally. I don't care if people know where I live. I live in the DC area, Washington, DC. I just find it really hard for some reason in this area for dating. And I don't know if it's because people think, oh, I live in the DC area. You know, you're not worthy enough for them or you don't look a certain way. I just don't know what it is with this area. You know, if I travel and I go to Chicago to the gay section, Boys Town or whatever, I'm always talking to people there, or they're coming up to me or that type of thing. This area, I think there's a certain criteria in this area that you have to be look-wise.
Do you think also, too, because it's the DC area, that a lot of people are so job-focused? That, you know, maybe in Chicago when you were out, it's more of a situation of people really want to have a good social life and aren't as like laser focused on what they do for a living just because of the government being based where you live and jobs surrounding that. Do you think that has anything to do with it? Or I mean, is the gay community not very vibrant there? I mean, that could be it too.
I mean, I would have to say the gay community is vibrant here. And you have a good point. I mean, it could be because just of the area, the jobs and stuff, or people are focused on their jobs more. And they're just looking for, I don't know, wham, bam, thank you, ma'am type of setup. I've just always found it hard in this area to date.
Well, you know, I asked about that because one of my sorority sisters from way back when we were just out of school was living in DC and had the exact same problem. And she would say, she's like, it's like everybody is so focused on their career, their next move. It's like, yeah, they'll date, but it's not, you know, when finding a relationship becomes a priority to you, everything else shifts. And it kind of becomes, you can finally see your big picture and your long term and what it means and how important having someone to share that with is, you know, and in whatever capacity that is, whether that's you want to expand your social circle or you want to find a lifelong partner. And she was looking like you for a partner. And that was just, I just always remember she said that because I was like, wow, you live in DC. You should have a pick of pretty much everybody. And she's like, no, the dating in that area is not like that. And that's why I was wondering when you were saying that, if maybe that has something to do. And when you live there, that's really hard.
Even, I mean, I know people in the straight community that are having the same problems that I am in this area. And I think it really is this area. like your friend said, just they're focused on their careers, or, you know, it's just such a hustle bustle down in DC. And I'm the type of person that's looking for love, settle down. You know, I have my career going for me. And maybe I'm picking the wrong people that are still focused on their career.
That's always a possibility. And the people that I help with my online program, that's actually something that we talk about. And I just yesterday, I was at a Verizon store, and this person may actually be listening to this podcast because I gave them the information. They did subscribe while I was standing there. So if it, they will know who they are. I do not want to say their name. But we were talking about, when I told them the name of the podcast, I actually did tell them that this episode, we'd be doing this today. So hopefully they'll listen for this, because that's really cool. But just talking about dating in general, and this person was sharing a bad dating experience they had. And my first question, after I kind of chuckled, because it was not really even funny, it was sort of ridiculous, but I was like, what is the vetting process? Like, let's talk about how you're vetting people. Because I think, and what you bring up is such a valid point, maybe when you're looking at somebody, there's not, you know, maybe you just need to shift and change the things that you're looking for first. Because yeah, somebody with a career, of course, that's a good quality. Somebody who's smart, yeah, good looking, all these qualities. But there may be a dividing point there that if you noticed it, and I don't want to say red flag, because it might not be something negative like calling you and asking you for money, but that's an obvious red flag, right? But something smaller that would kind of alert you to be like, okay, I'm not going to pursue that, because where's it really going to go? But a lot of times I think it's us. And for myself, when I started shifting how I looked at the people I was dating and what I really wanted, and then sticking with what I wanted. So yeah, this guy's kind of great, but I'm never going to get anywhere. I'm going to be on the hamster wheel with this project forever. And I could be missing out on the partner that I'm really looking for. And that doesn't mean that the hamster wheel person isn't great and really good and really fun, and I'm really enjoying myself. But when you start to put that big picture together, it can be hard to stay on that course. To be like, it's sort of like, I'll use myself as the example. I'm trying to not have as much sugar because it sneaks up on me in a variety of ways. But it's sort of like, I really want the donut and it's going to taste really good now, but I have to consider, what is it going to be next week if my eczema flares up? Which I know sounds creepy, but that's what happens when I have too much.
Oh, no. Yeah, exactly.
But it's that ability to really, like, you know, walk away from what works in this moment in exchange for pursuing your higher purpose and your bigger picture. So maybe that is it. When you say maybe you're looking for the wrong people, maybe you are. Not a bad thing. But coming to that realization, I think, can be really... It's eye-opening, because it changes then where you spend your time and who you spend your time with.
See, and my thing is, I don't think I've dated anybody older than me. The flight attendant I dated was 35. And then after him, I dated someone who was 25.
So that's a pretty significant age difference.
Yeah. The guy I dated who was 25, I mean, we dated a few months. I mean, to be honest with you, I kind of think it was more of a, oh, I just broke up with my partner and jumped into this rebound, or felt like, oh, wow, I'm 40-something years old and I'm dating a 25-year-old. So now my focus, too, is dating someone closer to my age or a little bit older, where they should have their career in place and not be so focused.
And even a little bit more mature. So in the case of the flight attendant, like, the flight attendant is more like closer to our age. So an adult, right? But still making like dumb, I don't want to say dumb decisions, they're working out for him, but childish decisions, right? So not that level of maturity that you're looking for. You know, 25, that's a pretty significant gap. So that's almost like dealing with somebody. I mean, like, that's almost like you're still buying alcohol for them. You're almost there. You know what I mean?
I mean, it made me feel good for a few months, like,
of course,
with a 25-year-old.
Yeah, but see, look at that, you know? And think about that. Like, you've identified why you did it. Like, yeah, you probably know that's not probably going to last. And maybe it would. I don't know. People are different. You never know when love is going to strike. But you want to give yourself the best opportunity. And look what it did. It was more for, like, also your self-esteem. Yep. Like, here I am. I can still do this, which is, we all do stuff like that. But to identify it and then know, like, okay, next time a 25-year-old comes around, to be able to be like, okay, wait, like, hang on, let me just investigate some stuff here. Is this really where I want to head? Because most relationships don't work anyway. So, I mean, statistically speaking, they don't. And that's okay. That's not, that's what dating is. That's why we have it. So we can try out a bunch of people, get to know them, let them try us out and see if there's potential. But narrowing it and giving yourself the best opportunity. So that's an interesting point that you bring up about age, because I think that's something that, again, is an, all the stuff you're talking about are across the board issues. They're not specific to that you're gay or that someone else is not. General struggles, which is crazy and sad. And I think sometimes we think somebody else has it easier, but no, it's because we're dealing also with other people, and other people are crappy sometimes.
And then a few months ago, the flight attendant actually texted me, was like, hey, just checking in, want to see how you are and stuff. Me and so-and-so broke up. I'm like, I know why you're texting me. So, and we have a mutual friend that I ran into at a bar down in D.C. And he was like, yeah, that's why he was texting you. And I was like, Well, I didn't respond, so.
Right. I was going to ask you, how did you handle it? Just let it go.
No, just let it go.
Yeah. And look at that. Like, I always like to talk about a lesson from an experience. Look at the lesson now. Now you're like eyes wide open. And no, I don't want that again. Like, yeah, sure. Flying to Mexico was fun, but you got value out of it too. It kind of ran its course, you know, so here you are. And is it worth a long-term trade? No. So, okay, cool. You know, then look at how they come back around and just being, you know, sure enough in yourself that, yeah, you don't want that. Not that it wasn't fun or you didn't enjoy his company. I mean, obviously you did, or you wouldn't have been dating him in the first place.
Oh, exactly.
You know, but to be able to be like, no, thanks. Like Ariana Grande with thank you next, you know?
Thank you next.
Like, see ya.
Exactly.
And did you feel kind of powerful when you did that? Like what he did had nothing to do with you, and you could respond to it, but you weren't in control of it. So you couldn't help that he was that way. Got any of your kind of power back once you were able to, like, essentially reject him the second time?
Totally. When I didn't respond back, and I know the mutual friend probably runs back and tells him things or whatever, I felt very powerful thinking, oh, so the life wasn't decent on the other side from what you were doing. Now you're not with the person you're with, thinking you could just crawl back into my life. And like you said, the Ariana Grande song, thank you next. Nope, sorry.
Which is great. I mean, because how many times I've done it, you probably have done it in dating, you accept the second round to be like, oh, it'll be different this time. Because it wasn't really bad the first time. Like, yeah, maybe you fucked up, but it wasn't really bad. It was fun. So maybe now you've realized and you want to, okay. And then you just end up wasting time with, again, the hamster wheel, like something that's never going to become what you really need it and want it to be. And somebody who is, you know, they are who they are, and expecting them to shift to fit our idea of what is appropriate when we shouldn't. You know, we are who we are too. We shouldn't want somebody who wants to change us. So when you go back with somebody and it's kind of like, well, no, you'll be different this time. Well, you should honor who they are, and maybe they're not right for you, and that's okay. That doesn't make them terrible. They're just not right for you. That's all. As I said that, that's another discussion I would really like to have with you. I know you and I talked before we hopped on here about this being a two-episode series. So for our listeners, I'm grateful to have my good friend James for two of these podcast episodes. I suspected we would have a lot to cover. And even at two episodes, we'll probably not be able to get to all the really good stuff. So what I would like to do, James, is we're going to kind of sign off from this episode now, so we can give our listeners a little bit of time to kind of think about the really important things you talked about. I know without a doubt that a lot of people who were listening could very much relate to the experiences that you shared. Some of them might even be in the middle of something like that right now, while they're listening to us, maybe even getting a text message with somebody that they didn't even meet online, but we're talking to, asking them for money. And I hope that in listening, they kind of gain the courage, based on your example, to be like, nope, see ya, and blocking the number. To our listeners, we're going to get back in our next episode and really talk about that point of being who you are and accepting it and not allowing other people to change you and expecting you to change other people. Because I think that brings up a lot of points that happen in dating too. Stay tuned for the second episode in this series. It's going to be the continuation of this podcast with my good friend James. And just remember to check out my online dating program, onlinedatingresults.com. We talked in this episode about a lot of issues that happen that turn people away from online dating. And my job is to help people navigate it, feel better about it, and get the results that they're looking for. So if you head over to onlinedatingresults.com right now, you can get my 7 best tips for online dating. They are the tips that I used. I had to learn them the hard way. Once I learned them, I used them all the time to help me avoid pitfalls and to really find what I was looking for. So head over there. And in the meantime, just remember that dating isn't always great. And that's why we have the Dating Disasters podcast. I'm Amy Helt.
The following podcast